You wackadoo creatures of the internet. It's Friday, and I promised you something different. On Friday, we are doing our first ever four-guest in remote location show, and it's a crazy day to do it because there is a lot happening. So joining me today is a journalist. Wow, I can actually say the word journalist without going like this. Is a journalist and the host of Slightly Offensive on Blaze TV, Elijah Schaefer. I've got former lefty knitter turned walkaway all-star Carlin Borsenko and the Willy Wonka of politics. You know him, Michael Malice. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave.
Look at you guys.
Thank you, Dave.
With your heads firmly in your boxes. This is true talking head operation we're doing right now. So look, there's obviously a crazy amount going on. And Elijah, I'm going to start with you. Because you were on the ground in the Capitol, you took some pictures. Just in the last, I guess, 2 or 3 hours, you have been banned from Instagram. You have been banned from Facebook. We also heard that Carlin, who's been very heavily involved in the walkaway movement, that the walkaway page has just been taken off of Facebook. And Elijah, you just broke some news, like literally like 30 seconds ago, about some more censorship stuff. So take it away.
Yeah, that a lot of us are getting put on no-fly lists that were, I would say, just present at this event. And I'd like to reiterate the fact that I was not somehow involved in these activities. I was there reporting. But unfortunately, you know, this has become such a serious reaction. And in some ways, rightfully so, you would expect the government to lay a heavy hand on people who breach a federal building. But we're seeing them even, you know, not the government come down on reporters, but big tech has taken a step outside of the government, and they've essentially taken it further than what the law wants to take. And they are now deleting, censoring, and blocking journalists, even my own personal profiles that just had pictures of my dog, my wife, and my recently deceased mother. You know, nothing political of nature. They've just removed all of the traces of me off their platforms based off of false accusations by very far left bloggers that work for Mashable, BuzzFeed, The Daily Beast. So unfortunately, while I would expect this to be the government crackdown, we're seeing the alignment of the state and the media together into like a state media run technocracy. And they are using this as a catalyst to destroy every single person they possibly can, including the president. And I don't think anyone's safe, including the fact that they're using this to get a lot of us not to be able to fly ever again, treating reporters, journalists, and those documenting as terrorists. It's a really sad day in our country. I'm not scared. I'm overwhelmed, though, not just for my own future, but for the future of the country.
Yeah, and just to be clear, you are a credentialed reporter. You're an actual journalist. You work at The Blaze. It is a place of journalism. You weren't in there breaking anything. Did you break anything? Let's get you on the record. Did you break any windows? Did you flip Nancy Pelosi's desk?
I didn't break anything. I also didn't touch any federal property besides my feet on the floor. I did not meddle with anything. I did not tamper with any evidence. And in fact, you know, Nancy Pelosi's offices are a very large swath, I want to clarify, of like 10 different chambers. I never entered in her personal area. And, you know, ultimately speaking, this is where the police pushed us back into. And, you know, to bring this up, I have a federal congressional press credential. And so I literally have the legal authority to operate inside of Congress, though I know they broke in. I believe the newsworthiness under the you know, the act that was meant to protect journalists was very important to let America know what was happening. The police inside the congressional building were understanding of my credentials, and they worked with me. While they arrested the people around me, they did not arrest me, and they let me leave because they knew I was documenting the news. And it's really scary to see that just because my personal political affiliations and opinions are against the mainstream of what's considered tolerable, meaning I still believe in the Constitution and freedom of speech, somehow now I'm getting scapegoated as some procurer of this violence, when in reality, if I wasn't there, a lot of the world probably wouldn't have known at least as quickly what was actually happening.
Right. So literally 30 seconds before we started, you heard this news about the no-fly list. Carlin, apparently you're on this no-fly list too, so congratulations.
Well, I guess so. And I didn't even go in the building. I showed up significantly after Elijah did. When I came up to the Capitol, first off, I want to emphasize there was supposed to be a scheduled rally at the Capitol after Trump's speech, which is why I went and which is why a lot of other people went. And when I approached the Capitol, it was already a giant mass of people with tens of thousands. It looked like a normal rally. It did not actually click for me that something was going on until I was way, way into the crowd and I saw tear gas being shot at them. But I did not go into the building. I looked around outside of the building. I recorded what I could outside of the building, but I guess I won't be flying anytime soon. We're going to have to see.
And can you give me a quick update on what's going on with the walkaway Facebook page? So 500,000 people, right? It's run by Brandon Straka and a couple other people. And this is basically just ex-libs. It's ex-libs who just sort of had it with the Democratic Party. I know a little something about that. And they just got taken down today.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It was about an hour ago. We found out that the walkaway group on Facebook had been completely banned. It was over 500,000 people. And all of the administrators, their personal pages on Facebook have also been banned. And one of the things I want to emphasize is that walkaway approves every single post that goes up in that Facebook group. It's video testimonials of people talking about why they left the Democratic Party. So they review and approve every single one of them. There was no calls for violence in that group. Walkaway is a completely peaceful movement. We've been doing rallies around the country for months that have been completely peaceful, not one call for violence. So if people want to stay in touch with Walkaway, please make sure you're going to walkawaycampaign.com. Get on the email list. Brandon will be sending out next steps.
Yeah, and I think it's possible they might be getting on local sometime soon. I might have a little knowledge.
I hope so.
All right, Malice, I know that you'd rather that I say mean things about you and troll you and the rest of it, but I'm going to say something nice about you, which is that you usually are ahead of the schedule on a lot of this stuff. And you wrote a book called The New Right, which I've read, and I had you on the show to discuss. You've basically predicted kind of all of everything that's happened over the last couple of years. How you feeling about life right now? And I should note that you are in lockdown Brooklyn because I'm in lockdown LA. It's like, at least my weather's nice, but you chose Brooklyn.
I'm just curious, what's it gonna take for conservatives to realize that the Constitution is a joke, that the constitutional protections are gonna do nothing to help you, that they are gonna come for your guns regardless of the Second Amendment, they're gonna ban peaceful assembly regardless of the First Amendment, and you're protecting a document which is empowering the state to do things like what you're seeing. It's really ridiculous to me that conservatives still uphold this document when it's just being used as a tool of oppression nationwide. Now, to their point earlier, the cathedral wasn't going down without a fight. And by cathedral, I mean the arbiters of what is acceptable establishment discourse in America. They are going to have to do everything in their power to suppress and marginalize these alternative perspectives, because the only way they can maintain any sort of control is effectively as a near monopoly. So this is an enormous existential threat to their hegemony over our culture. I'm trying to think of it from their perspective. How would I try to marginalize or silence 70 million Trump voters, and let's suppose other people who are sympathetic to that or seek their just goods from both sides? And I don't see how you do it. Because historically, let me just finish my last point. Historically, the left has said somewhat correctly that rioting is the voice of the unheard. Well, when you silence tens of million people from social media, and tell them to sit down and shut up and go home, and you make it a felony for them to leave their house or to earn a living, this is not a recipe for uniting and heal the nation.
So, all right, so as a guy that's been to North Korea, you know a little something about authoritarian states. Like,
sure.
Are these the pieces? Like, without being crazy alarmist and the rest of it, I try not to whip everybody up into a frenzy, but like, the pieces that we're seeing fall right now and the level of censorship and now no-fly list and the rest of it, like, are we headed there?
We've been there. The thing is that people had this veneer of democracy, thinking that, oh, it's if I hate Joe Biden and I think he's a Chinese-owned buffoon, if I hate Donald Trump and thinks he's a white supremacist Russian agent, why would I need to be governed by someone I despise? This is the democratic model that people have been bought into since kindergarten. And now people are starting to realize since 2020, especially with hashtag not my president, that the system does not make sense on any level. And the difference between an insurrection and a resistance is whether there's corporate sponsorship. And thankfully, conservatives have the scales taken from their eyes and have realized that corporate America is not their friend. And corporate America has been much more effective at imposing Maoism in America than the Chinese Communist Party ever dreamed of.
You mean when I open up Hulu and it only recommends Black Lives Matter things, or I open up YouTube and it recommends Black Lives Matter things, or pretty much
PlayStation
and everywhere else? You think there's some corporate involvement?
Struggle sessions when you have to get together with like that law school, I think it was Northwestern, and declare that I'm a racist. This is a cultural artifact of Mao, and North Korea has it as well. And people need to realize this isn't a joke, that this has been a soft war, and now this war is hardening, as especially the weakness of the empire has been exposed. When you have someone who's cast from Burning Man able to storm the Capitol and slap his member on Pelosi's desk with no pushback, this is not the sign of an empire at the height of its powers. And if you think someone who craps his pants at the vice president's desk for 8 years is going to be the one who's going to be able to resolve this, I think you're completely delusional.
That was about Joe Biden, for the record. Elijah, since you were there at the Capitol, and there's all sorts of weird video coming out. I played a video yesterday on the show where it appeared there were literally thousands of Trump supporters at one point chanting to stop a guy who they were saying was Antifa from breaking into a window. Now, we know plenty of Trump supporters went into the building. Nobody's denying that, and that, you know, offices were ransacked and whatever else. But can you just talk a little bit about, like, the general temperature that was there? And was there a moment that you saw things go crazy? And it almost looked at times like police were actually welcoming people into the building and moving barricades out of the way and waving people on and the rest of it. Can you just clean it up a little bit from what you saw?
Yeah, so you kind of hit on everything. And this is going to probably piss off anybody who's watching this, whether you're on the left or the right. I think the truth of what happened that day makes anybody who wants a narrative to fit their perfect agenda probably angry, and I'm okay doing that.
Yeah, let's take
a couple people off. You know, number one, I want to say that the original altercation of tearing down barriers, people like to say that that was due to a man having a heart attack. I can't confirm that, and police not getting involved and people getting angry. What I saw was a large group of very, very buff, aggressive young Caucasian men, and they looked like your normal Trump supporters. They did not have the physique that you would experience from anarchists. These were people I was marching with up to the Capitol for a planned rally, not for some sort of sedition or insurrection like Lindsey Graham is referring to. I did notice that they were angry. They were saying, this is our house. We live here. We own this. And they started ripping down the exterior barrier, which I believe was the fourth outer barrier, that there were no police actively guarding. They made it to a second barrier as they went inside. So like, it's like whatever, going in. And they police basically thought the people would just stop, but they started pushing the barriers, of which one of the gates, I from my footage, I believe hit one of the officers in the head, a female officer, almost knocking her unconscious. This was the first major injury I saw of a police officer. She was stunned and couldn't get up. Police began to fight with the Trump supporters. This is when there was about a few dozen already, people carrying Trump flags. I know people say these are Antifa. I will say this. Well, I don't have confirmation of who these individuals were. I do remember on Parler, Proud Boys were saying they would dress up incognito like Antifa from Taylor Hansen and some other journalists. And I will say that there was at least two people that were confirmed from BLM and Antifa. But of the 12 people have sent me, I've been able to debunk 10 out of 12 of them as not being from those groups. And to kind of speed this up, police were so firmly and fully unprepared for what was about to occur, that essentially what happened was is that they began to fight the police up front. It turned into serious altercations, and police were cordoned in the middle, and the Trump supporters essentially broke through the sides of the front line of the police, breaking through, actually maneuvering through the rafters that were meant for the inauguration on the upper balcony, and then pushed their way past police, breaking open quite a few windows, and it appeared to be like breaking open doors. When I actually arrived at the front of the Capitol building, there were still aides in their offices evacuating, people holding fire extinguishers at the door, having their doors barricaded. I mean, it was a complete emergency. The people inside were extremely terrified. And my only point is that it seemed like once the people got inside, the area I went to, they literally beat through the cops to get through. People don't like me saying that. They beat up the cops. But in another area that I went to, another door, as I was documenting the groups, police were actually letting people in. So there was both of that going on. In some entrances, police just like welcomed the people in and took selfies with them. And some of them pulled out guns, live ammunition, batons, were beating them up. And I saw a lot of Trump supporters get into serious melees, some of which I've seen at other events before. So these were not Antifa. These are people's faces I've recognized from right-wing events. And I think, you know, to put the blame on anybody, yep. I would say to try to blame this all on Antifa is intellectually dishonest. And a lot of the people pushing those lies are just grifters.
No, I and that's why I wanted to ask you the question. And actually, that's a perfect segue, because Carlin, you were basically put on the map because you were a lifelong lefty. You went to a Trump rally and you realized that it was actually nice, decent people who were happy and everything else. And as you know, over the last couple months, I went to a bunch of Trump rallies. I never saw one iota of negativity. I saw happy people, proud of their country, joyous, gay, straight, black, white, blah, 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 blah. Did you see anything while you were there that led you to believe this was a different group, either left, right, doesn't matter, but did you get a sense like, oh, something ain't right here?
Well, I was outside the building, right? And I got there after everyone else. And when I got there, people were sitting on the lawn having a great time. They were waving American flags. They were chanting USA, USA, USA. Like, it really, the experience I had with it is I did not witness any of the violence. I didn't even know what was happening until later when I got back to the hotel. I mean, I was even texting you, Dave, and I was like, and you said something about the violence. I was like, what are you even talking about? Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You literally didn't even know. Yeah, yeah.
No, because none of us had any service, so we couldn't get the news, we couldn't get Twitter updates, we didn't know what was going on. So the vast majority of people, I believe, I think it is it is really dangerous that all of the people there are being cast under the same brush, because the vast majority of people were there, A, because there was a scheduled event there, B, they were there to stand up and demand that their voices be heard, not through violence, but by being present and demanding accountability from their elected officials. And I think what we need to keep in mind is this is a group of people that has been emotionally abused mm-hmm. by every major institution in this country for 5 years, called every name in the book, censored, banned, fired from their jobs. These are people that were afraid of wearing a red hat outside of their house. And, you know, you can only push people so far before something happens. And that was how it manifested itself. But for the vast majority of people that were there, they did not go in the building. They did not destroy property. They were there peacefully sitting on the grass chanting USA, USA, USA.
Malice, I assume that the reaction from the mainstream media immediately calling this an insurrection and a white supremacist rally and the rest of it, from the very same people who were actually instigating Black Lives Matter and Antifa rallies for the last 2 years. I assume that didn't surprise you?
Did it surprise anybody? I mean, the entire job of the corporate press is to train blue-pilled people on how to perceive and emotionally respond to various events that they see on their screens and so forth. So I'm not surprised in the slightest. This is their role. And I disagree a little bit with Carlin. It's like she makes the point, like for 5 years, they were called every name in the book, you know, Nazi, white supremacists, whatever. And I think there's still a little bit of expectation on some people on the right that, well, I didn't go in the building, so I could expect to be treated fairly. Mm-hmm. Why? Why would you expect a group of people who want you dead but will settle for your submission to treat you with any kind of decency where your existence is a threat to their domination and control? They will do everything in their power to marginalize you and ruin you, and you have to start with that as the point. And any expectation to the contrary, I don't think ports to reality.
So I know that people watching this that get what you're saying, like they get it. Like, okay, they're not going to make any distinction whether you were peaceful or not peaceful or there or not there or anything else. But I know a lot of people watching that are going, man, I don't want to live in that world. They're just afraid of living in the world that you're laying out. What do you do with that? What do you do with that?
Go to Mars, leave the Earth, call Elon Musk. I mean, it's really, this has been the status quo for a very long time. And now, thankfully, thanks to social media, they can't hide behind their lies. And you could see, again, like we were saying last year, like Black Lives Matter, the voice of the unheard, or CNN was being burnt down. Just tell them the insurrection was mostly peaceful. And that'll get them to shut up a little bit, use their language. But there's no talking. This is, the NRA was being called terrorists openly and brazenly. Kamala Harris was saying the president should be kicked off of Twitter. So I think we're going to see, hopefully, an increasing intellectual self-segregation in our nation. There's no reason for everyone to be on Facebook. I made this point with you on your show previously. In the same way, there's no reason for everyone to be on OkCupid or any of these other apps. We are going to have to intellectually self-segregate before our nation hopefully breaks up in the very near future.
I believe it's malice.locals.com.
Yes, sir.
And I believe it's carlin.locals.com.
Nope. KB, because Carlin is impossible to spell for most people. So KB.
It's KB.locals.com. And of course, Elijah, so you're on the Blaze, and I'm also on the Blaze, and that offers us some protections. But as you said, you just got booted from Instagram. You just got booted from Facebook. Now there's a freaking no-fly zone. You also told me your YouTube was demonetized, right? But you're still on YouTube.
Took all monetary gains away from the channel, yes.
So do you have backup plans? I mean, I think everyone's looking at people like us going, okay, you guys are sort of the public face of what we're dealing with privately, right? Like they're either stopping posting or a lot of people are deleting their accounts. I mean, literally in the last 2 days, I've lost 10,000 Twitter followers. It's not that suddenly people don't like me. It's accounts that are being banned or just nuked, whatever it is. But do you have any plans? Like, what do you think about this idea that Michael's throwing out there of this sort of intellectual segregation, and we just got to take care of ourselves and maybe just get off all of these things, these big platforms?
Well, yeah, it's absolutely true. You know, I think that we all just stay on as long as we can. And I agree with Michael and the fact that, you know, I want to reiterate two sides of this. I mean, the Trump supporters that are denying that Trump supporters could do this, I mean, have you not heard the sentiments from people who follow Trump? I mean, they are pissed. They are upset. I mean, they have been absolutely berated with and dehumanized, depersoned, deplatformed. The people they love have been completely obliterated off of any ability for them to access information. They've been ostracized, oftentimes lost their jobs. They've been alienated from families. I mean, you know, we talk about all this and everyone agrees, yeah, that's how Trump supporters feel. And then it's like, you don't believe that that could end badly, that people could revolt, that you, how did the revolution happen? How did these things occur? Which is where people gave criticisms to me that, oh, you use the term revolutionaries. You were supporting a revolution or a coup. I said, no, when you're in a group of people that are chanting revolution, and many of which were calling for the termination of life of some Congress members, that's not a popular thing to say. I voted for Trump. I don't want to believe that people are, you know, around me or try to make anyone look bad. I don't do that on the left either. I don't go to a left-wing rally and try to make BLM look bad. I just take people what they say and I put it out there, and I'm saying people are angry. And when they look at us being taken down, it's not just the figureheads, they're being taken down too. And I think that the tech companies are not realizing the damage this is going to do, because, you know, I do have to watch a lot of things that I might say because I have to follow tech guidelines. But if you push people like they did to Alex Jones into ban.video, mm-hmm. where he's on his own servers, well, I think his rhetoric actually gets more extreme. It gets more unhinged and it gets more out of control. And I think what they're doing is creating a greater enemy than they're actually preventing. And they're taking normal people who have traditional right-wing views like myself, who work a normal job reporting, that are out there, and they make us seem to be like we're complicit in some terroristic activities, that we are evil people.
I'm going to push back for 1 second about Alex Jones, because we had on MSNBC, and I think it was on CNN during the last year, William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, saying that President Trump committed treason. And in his words, he had said, and the penalty for treason is death. When you have people on the air calling for the president to be killed, there is nothing Alex Jones that came said has come close to that kind of rhetoric. And they have no consequences for that behavior. And just one more quick point. Everyone earlier in 2020 who said, if we didn't go into Syria, boots on the ground, this is another Holocaust, this is a genocide, and the extermination of the group of people over there, no one had any consequences for wanting American soldiers to be murdered for no reason.
But Michael, I'm not saying that Alex is more extreme than these people. I'm saying that they're saying, oh, we need to hold these people accountable. So the best way we can hold them accountable is to then boot them off of the public forum.
Oh, I agree.
And then I'm saying that actually the people they're booting, saying we're too extreme, are actually very respectful of their guidelines and of their rules, which makes you question, why are we still even respectful? Why are we operating in these platforms? Because realistically speaking, they operate in these platforms with complete immunity. They, right. Yeah, believe me, the amount of people that have wrote me, even public people saying they want to kill my wife. They want to kill me, pee on our graves. Terrible things. Are their accounts down? No. Shut down DC called for violence in DC in the Capitol. Is their account, that's a Black Lives Matter group, are they shut down? No. I'm just saying that my point is not that they're not under different rules, but it's just that as they push people offline, then they complain, oh, now everybody's talking unhinged on Parler. And it's like, well, why is everyone on Parler? It's because you've pushed people off your platforms and then you're complaining that you don't have control of them anymore. Well, now you realize you're just tyrants. You're not looking for peace on your platform. You're looking to control all conversation in all of society, and they're not going to stop until they have that.
So did
someone
you guys
write a book about that?
Someone should write a book about that. I think I have it over here. Did you guys happen to see that this morning Dan Bongino, who created Parler and who helped create Rumble, that he has officially said he's not going to use Twitter anymore, that he's said, I've built some stuff and I'm going to stay over there and I'm going to get off this thing. Michael, do you think that seeding the ground is the right way to go? That actually, look, I started Locals. It's exploding right now, which I'm thrilled about. And I would welcome everybody to get on there and see what we're doing and create your own community and be free. But do you think that ultimately, I think you sort of said it already, that we have to just create our own things and just let them go, just the disconnect.
I'm an anarchist, which means I'm for peace and for freedom of association. And I agree that you have to fight where you can, but you should expect that they are going to ratchet up the blocking and banning people as much as possible. And it's the same thing, you have a fire extinguisher. If I get kicked off of Facebook, if I get kicked off of YouTube, this is why I do have my Locals and other kind of outlets, because you have to expect that they're not going to go down without a fight. And anyone who is a threat to their monopoly control of discourse, they are going to treat as a threat. And you have to anticipate these actions accordingly.
Carlin, what are you hearing just from regular people? Because I think what's so interesting about your story is you had nothing to do with any of this literally a year and a half ago. Like the three of us, like, we've been in this for a while, but you were a knitter.
I was knitting, Dave. I was knitting a year
Let's
and a half ago.
That word.
And I will say that Ravelry, I actually had a knitting group that I recently created on Ravelry called Crafting Rebels. And my knitting group has been banned on Ravelry as of yesterday with no explanation. So the knitters are still at it. But no, I have been inundated with emails and messages from people basically saying that they had the same experience at the Capitol that I did, that they did not realize that there was violence. They did not realize what was going on. They were sitting around having a good time and, you know, peacefully expressing their First Amendment rights, and they are floored at what's happening. And it's like, it is overwhelming to me. It is overwhelming that in a country where we watched for months as Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioted, lit fires up and down the streets in all these major cities, including Washington, D.C., and we're told that this was a peaceful protest should be uncomfortable, Dave. Don't you know that protests should be uncomfortable? Yeah. And we had to watch
AOC,
this for months.
AOC.
And there was one Trump rally where things got admittedly out of hand. And I think, you know, I have condemned the violence. Many people have condemned the violence. And it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So, Elijah, as a journalist, without air quotes, this idea that basically everybody on the right, I mean, everybody condemned the violence. There is nobody that didn't condemn the violence. But it never gets condemned. And not only doesn't get condemned, but you guys probably saw that supercut on Twitter where people were showing all of the lefty journalists and MSNBC hosts and the rest of it, you know, that incredible Ali Velshi video with a firebomb exploding behind him saying it's a mostly peaceful protest. I guess you're not surprised by the way the media has treated this.
No, I'm not surprised at all, actually, because I firmly believe that, you know, if BLM or if anybody had been in this situation, right, if it had been a white cop shooting an unarmed black woman inside, even if she was invading, this would have been the idea of, look, the state from the highest level down destroying our lives. The narrative, I don't understand it fully, but the narrative would have been different. The reason why, even after condemning this, what's shocking to me about the reaction to this is that this is not really any less severe than anything I've experienced over the last 9 months across in the entire year almost of 2020. Yeah. I've seen much worse than this. That's all I'll say. I've seen much worse than this, and I've seen much less condemnation. The best example is Kenosha. Kenosha was a terrorist attack on domestic soil. They burned down and destroyed over 36, I think, buildings. They destroyed like tens of millions of dollars in personal property. They were pulling out guns. They were destroying so much public property you can't even fathom. And they were burning down apartment buildings with children inside. This is how intense it was. And what does the final narrative come from Kenosha? It's the debate about whether Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist or not. Mm-hmm. Nobody debates about the terrorist attack that happened on domestic soil. Nobody cares. The argument is just about the narrative of this one kid and these shootings that took place on, you know, a few days after all the violence began. And so I don't want to hear it from people. You know, they don't care that we condemn the violence. That's what the right wing or the conservatives don't understand. You can't remedy your position on this. You can't be right because it's not a game set up to where you can ever win. They will always be right because they control the institutions. We will always be wrong. And as we kowtow back and try to pretend like we try to, you know, create these, you know, press releases and try to explain our stance, in the end, we just end up looking weak to our base, while at the same time showing the left they actually have more power to weaken and destroy our stance. And there's if you condemned or you condoned this event, you're going to be persecuted either way. It's a losing game.
Malice, I couldn't see you because we had the camera just on Elijah, but I have a feeling you were like praising God as he was talking right there, because that's your whole point, right?
Praising someone.
Let
me read that AOC tweet. This is from December 2nd, 2020. Remember 2020? We were so much younger then. The whole point of protesting, this is AOC, is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point. I agree with everything Elijah just said, and I'm delighted that so many people on the right are realizing, stop apologizing, stop trying to fight on a turf that you cannot possibly win. These people are not playing fair. They just want your submission, if they can have that. If not, they will just do everything they can to destroy your life as being a threat to their power. And I'm shocked by how many conservatives who I'd written off as almost entirely delusional have become aware of this new reality. And I'm sure these lockdowns certainly helped open their eyes to a large extent.
Yeah, Malice, what do you think of Biden and Kamala saying that if this had been black people, it would have been very different? It would have been very different. They would have been shooting people on the streets and everything else, even though we know that the rioters, as Elijah just laid out, have destroyed Kenosha, have destroyed
We don't even
Portland,
talk about that.
Have destroyed Seattle, right? We don't even talk about it. Yeah.
Now, hold on. The media basically treats us like 6 months ago doesn't exist, and the narrative is whatever on your screen. In June, they stormed the White House. Black Lives Matter stormed the White House. They brought the barricades. As everyone knows, the White House has snipers on the roof. They have people all over to protect the president, whoever that happened to be. No one was killed. No one was shot. So we don't have to even speculate. Mm-hmm. We had a group of largely people of color storming the White House, and none of them were murdered. So any claims to the contrary is a complete lie. Now, maybe Kamala Harris telling the truth, because as a cop, if she was in charge, she'd be mowing people down because that's her wet dream. But that's another issue. And the other thing that's great, C-SPAN, which is a nonpartisan organization which puts political speeches for everyone's edification online, when she was making that claim, that clip, she got ratioed on Twitter. And when you ratio a tweet, that means there's more comments than likes, which is a good indicator that this tweet is a, did you use Joe Biden's term, malarkey?
Right. Of course, the bigger issue is that our days of being able to ratio things is probably coming to a close, but we'll deal with that. Let's shift a little bit here, because I'm really curious for the three of you guys who are in this thing. And it comes with some benefits, right? People dig us and say nice things to us and help support us and all that. But I know that it comes with a certain cost, too. It you know, like the hate, the personal stuff. You know, I got just yesterday, David literally had a friend text him and basically say, what's it like to be married to a terrorist? Talking about me, a lifelong friend saying that. And I have no doubt that you guys are dealing with your own versions of all of that kind of crazy.
I didn't know you got your pilot's license even. Wow, that's amazing.
You're good, Malice. You're good. But for real, like, can you guys just talk about just like the personal cost of being in this? Carlin, I'll start with you first, because I think you, out of all of us, probably expected it the least.
Yeah, I mean, I have been denounced by every single one of my former friends in the last 24 hours. And you know what? I kind of reached a breaking point with all of this. When I was at when I was peacefully expressing my First Amendment rights to be denounced by every single person who used to call me a friend, I just started responding with, I got chased by a mob of Black Lives Matter in Dallas several months ago. Where were you then? If you don't show me the receipts of you denouncing that, then I do not care what you have to say. And that is the point that I'm at with this.
Yeah, Elijah, I know. You know, I know you just lost your mom. I know you're getting hit on all fronts, and quite literally, you got attacked. Wait, which was that? Just a couple weeks ago, you were physically attacked. I mean, we all saw the bloody pictures of your face. I mean, you've had a real personal and professional cost.
Yeah, and I you know, Greta Thunberg always says, "How dare you?" But I honestly love that quote because it's like, "How dare you to the media to talk about me being sympathetic with people being, you know, violent in cases where, you know, people don't want violence to occur." I mean, I'm a victim of constant political violence. I'm in the midst of every single one of these things, and the media has never come to my aid, never cared when I've been attacked, never written anything about when I've had guns pointed at my head or I've been jumped, I've gotten a concussion, I've gotten my leg broken by the Department of Homeland Security in Portland last year. And the most important part about all of this is that, you know, the media has been completely silent. And they haven't cared. I mean, the amount of death threats that are in my life right now, and the FBI, speaking of that, probably will be contacting me soon, maybe. But they already have been contacting me because there's been, you know, active assassination attempts in Washington, D.C. Where were the politicians talking about and condemning the political violence of people trying to kill right-wing journalists or conservative journalists? They didn't care because they actually want me dead. I believe that. They're happy when I get beat up. If they can't hurt me into submission, then they will be happy if someone else kills me into submission. Because ultimately speaking, they have right now, they are messaging my family, they're messaging my friends, my church. It is so disgusting to the extent that these professionals have gone to completely destroy and defame my life. They should be ashamed of themselves. And I'm glad I believe in God, unlike Michael, because hell needs to exist for people like this.
Malice, well, I'm gonna let you close it out, but I'll just say on my front, beyond like the personal stuff and losing friends and even family members that are angry at me. I mean, I've got cameras in every freaking room in my house. We've got huge fences outside of my house that we just expanded. Like, I've been doxxed and all of that crazy stuff. Like, this comes with a cost. What about for you on the personal side? And bring us home. Bring us home here.
I'm the, of as all only four of can. Us, if I'm, I, if I can use this word, I'm the biggest pussy of us four. I've been choosing my battles. I have not been in the front lines. And I've not, so thank you to you guys for taking the shots. But I, coming from being born in Russia, being raised in a Russian household, I'm very aware of what people are capable of, what people with a little bit of power will be willing to do with those who threaten them in the slightest. And it's very unfortunate that, you know, people like Elijah and Carlin, as Americans, are starting to learn the consequences of what it means when power has no restrictions.
Well, listen, guys, this was our first test, and I got to tell you, I seriously enjoyed this. It was fun, but, you know, I know there's like some serious stuff going on right now, and it's crazy, and I love being in the fight
with
you guys.
It's gonna get worse.
And it is gonna get worse. That's the thing. Everywhere I go, people say to me, "Dave, when does this stop? When does this stop?" And I always say it's gonna get worse before it gets better. And the question is, what is rock bottom? And I don't think we really want to think about it. I mean, I try not to depress people at the end of these shows. What are we doing here? Somebody say something good, quick.
I mean, I think that there's hope. I think that there's hope when we reach rock bottom, because that gives people a chance to build back up again. Yep. I think that if there's blessings in everything, right? You can always look at things negatively or you can look at them positively. And I think that we can look at this situation and see that a giant light has been shown for a lot of people to reflect the things that Michael's been talking about for a very long time. This has now been made real for a lot of people. And we had no hope of even attempting to fix this problem if that light hadn't existed. So we should maybe be thankful for that. It's going to suck for a while, but at least it was made to appear.
Carlin Borisenko finishing strong. Follow her at kb.locals.com. Follow Malice. Malice.locals.com. Slightly offensive on Blaze TV for Elijah Schaefer. And guys, check out Locals. I mean, we're all going to be banned soon enough. So find some of the people you like and figure out where you can follow them off the big tech stuff. Guys, this was great. I think I'm going to try to do this every week, and I hope you'll be part as much as you can. And I consider you all friends and allies and all that good stuff. And have a nice non-political weekend. Go eat a steak or get laid or something.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks, guys.